Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Well, welcome to today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Yay! Sound effects.
Okay, so we watched a delightful little number called Christmas Catch today.
Yep.
In front of the fire, very festive, the house decorated for Christmas and all.
We're actually getting into the Christmas spirit.
Yes, we are. Eggnog and all. Okay. So, all right, where do we start with this? It's funny because there's lots of tropes in this. Lots of sort of, I don't know, things, stereotypical things. If you've noticed through all of the Christmas specials we've done, there's always some scene where we're sort of in the center of town and it's some type of Christmassy village thing.
Yep.
Usually that happens in the middle of the movie. This one starts there.
Yeah, something different.
Yeah, and we are let in right at the beginning on the fact that there's a police stakeout happening.
Correct.
Right, so Santa's in the van.
Right, Santa and another agent are in the van.
They're in the van, yeah. And the heroine of our piece, and her name is Mac, short for Mackenzie, is in an elf costume waiting to catch.
It was a tree cutting place.
I guess you bought your Christmas trees there. Yeah. And there's a guy there who's going to meet up with somebody. Right.
There's the seller. They're just known as the seller and the buyer. The seller was there. They were waiting for the buyer.
Yeah. So there's some criminal thing going down, and she's waiting for it to happen so she can swoop in. Now, I love this when we have a really beautiful heroine, but we keep pretending that she's awkward, even though she isn't, and that people wouldn't be interested in her. And we give her a sort of a masculine name like Mac, like she's not really very good at being a girl.
Right.
Right.
Despite her wearing lipstick.
And being beautiful.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, the guy is going to leave and the buyer isn't there yet, and they're not going to be able to catch him. So what will they do to stall him?
So they run through the huge list of stuff that they could possibly do, but they settle on Mac flirting with the buyer, which her partner, Reed, immediately tries to shut down.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, no, we can't do that because she's a terrible flirter, which, first of all, that's ridiculous that would even be a known thing. But it's known she's a terrible flirter. And sure enough, she flirts terribly, awkwardly.
Yep.
He figures out she's a cop. He runs away. She chases him down and catches him, breaking his arm in the
alleyway.
Yeah, in the alleyway.
There's a mom and a kid that watches this happen.
Right. And they're like, oh, no, Santa is hurting somebody. Right. So, okay. So you'd think, oh, my God, this is going to be all about this buyer and seller. But it's not. That's really just a way for us to see them getting in trouble, her and her partner.
Right.
And going back to the police station to get scolded. And why do we need to know this? Because we have to meet their captain. And guess who their captain is?
Jeez, I'm going to say it's a mom, one of their moms.
Oh, it's Mackenzie's mom.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Right. So she's both worried about her poor performance as a police person and also worried about her poor flirting performance. And is she ever going to find a man?
Yep.
And by the way, we also learned during this time that they have a mutual love of all things Christmas, especially Christmas trees, Christmas decorations. The captain's office is filled.
They both love Christmas.
They love Christmas. So we know all of this, right? Okay, so they're in trouble. They're in trouble because they messed it up. But they have a chance to redeem themselves.
Yeah, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And what is the chance they have to redeem themselves? What else is going on?
There is a singles mixer at Mackenzie's friend's coffee shop.
Right. So this is where she's going to redeem herself as a female, right? She's going to become the woman her mom always wants her to be, I guess. Meet a dude.
Yeah.
And it's all going to happen because she's going to wear heels. So there's a really outdated, terrible reference to she's wearing bad shoes. And they do a close up on these boots that it's like implied they're not feminine.
Right.
Yeah. And so if she only wears high heels, surely she will meet somebody.
Oh, yeah. As it goes.
Yeah. Quick cut to her in.
Heels.
Heels.
A nice outfit. Heels walking into the coffee shop where there's the same three guys there the whole time.
Yeah, it was like the worst background players I've ever seen. but so one of the best things about this movie was, I think out of all of the ones that we've watched, Brendan and I guessed more things in advance than in any other thing.
Yeah, it was incredibly predictable, and not saying that's good or bad, but
just incredibly so we're like, ooh, heels, how long before she rolls her ankle during the big walk-in scene? What, 5 seconds?
Barely. Yeah.
And then she rolls her ankle. Now she's in. She's trying to meet people, but God, her partner keeps calling on the phone.
Right.
So off she goes to take the call. It's noisy. There are carolers, as there always is. Have you noticed a glut of Christmas carolers in all of these movies?
Yeah, they're always in the wrong place.
I have not seen a Christmas caroler in my neighborhood
at all.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Same. Ever. Right. Same. I don't know if you guys have run into random, loud Christmas, inconvenient that, Christmas carolers
that come to your house.
Yeah, right. Right at the worst problem moments, like you're having a fight. Yeah. Right. And so anyway, they're caroling. She sneaks into the police station to take the call quietly, but she can't focus because she loves Christmas trees. I don't know if you know, you remember that she loves Christmas trees and the star on the top of the tree, crooked.
Yep. So she has to hang up the call on her partner and
climb on a stool. Remember, wearing the heels. Yep. So she's about to fall, and a very handsome stranger who's walking by just comes in.
And catches her,
right? Now, the next predictable thing is that during the singles mixer, she's explained to her friends that she doesn't want to be set up with somebody. She wants it to be serendipitous.
Specifically and, use that word.
Right, and they roll their eyes because apparently she uses that word all the time.
Yep.
So Brendan and I did predict that when she met her dude, he would use the word serendipitous. So sure enough, the stranger catches her and says, wow, isn't this serendipitous?
Oh, and they immediately connect.
Oh my God, they are like all over each other, ready to date. But the phone is ringing because her partner keeps calling back and she has to leave. So she really likes him, but she gives him no information about herself. Off she goes to find out what's going on. And we find out that
we're closing the circle.
Yes,
the seller.
We're going to close the circle, buyer. Right? Yeah. So they're going to randomly catch whoever it was that they missed the other day. And again, you think that's going to be important, but it's not.
No, it's such a throwaway. Mm-hmm. It's so important that Mac goes and meets her partner. And yeah. So he says, we found the seller. He's walking to his car. Mac goes, okay, I'll get him. Walks out the van, and the scene ends.
So we guess that she gets him. But the reason why they don't spend time on that is because it doesn't matter.
Nope.
What really matters is that we're back in the police station, and we have been greeted by an FBI agent, a very stern.
Special Agent Robertson.
Yeah, so Special Agent Robertson has a task for them. There is a possible diamond thief in their midst.
Yep, in town.
Yep, he's here. He just moved here, and he and his wife stole a diamond-encrusted reindeer. You don't really need to know the details about that, but nobody knows what happened to the reindeer or the wife. So now they have found the husband, and they're tracking him, and they're going to see if he can lead them to the reindeer. Oh, my God, I bet you're wondering, who on earth could this guy be?
I would immediately go to... Oh, yeah, I see where you're going. Let's do that first.
Yeah, so they open the file folders, and it's the serendipitous dude, and his name...
You can almost hear the wah, wah, wah.
Right, and his name is...
Carson.
So Carson is the gentleman that caught her at the tree, and oh no, now she has to investigate him. What is she ever going to do about that?
Go on the investigation.
I guess so. And just hope she knows she never gave him her information. Right. So what does she have to worry about?
Right, exactly. So the FBI has purchased or rented the house right across from where Carson lives.
Right, and they set up and they're gonna stake him out. They've got cameras, they're watching him, and they're all ready to do that when her phone rings.
Yes.
Oh my God, who could it be?
I don't know.
It can't be Carson because he doesn't have her phone number.
He doesn't know.
I mean, come on.
There's no, but it was.
It's Carson.
It was.
Right. So she was very surprised to hear from him.
Correct.
Turns out he got her number from the coffee shop owner.
And remember, Mackenzie's still a very bad flirt.
Yes, she's a terrible flirt. So she's flirting awkwardly with him on the phone. He asks her on a date. She's been warned by the FBI person that they cannot make contact with him at all. So what is she to do?
Hangs up the phone.
Hangs up the phone. Right in the middle of the conversation.
Awkwardly.
Yeah. So she tells the FBI agent, listen, I didn't tell you before, but I met this dude already. Now he's asked me on a date. Sorry, I didn't know what the protocol was. I hung up on him. Well, FBI agent's pissed because she didn't tell, but not so pissed that she doesn't come up with the great idea, also predicted by Brendan and I, that Matt
go on the date.
Date him.
Go on the date.
Right. Because now we're going to get all of the information. Right. Oh, and they've got all kinds of warrants to bug his house and put cameras in.
Apparently, being a local policeman also means you break our locks or can pick locks.
Yeah, so he's at work and they pick the lock expertly and they go in to install all of the equipment. And she gets to see that his house is decorated for Christmas beyond anybody's wildest imagination.
Top to bottom.
Oh my God, they share a love of Christmas. Yep. How serendipitous.
It's very serendipitous. So much so.
Right. You know what else is serendipitous? He actually has these ornaments that are this set of ornaments that she too has collected as a child.
The exact same.
Oh my God. She's like in love already and can't believe she has to investigate him and go on a date with him, but she does. Yep. So she's going to go on a date. They set up the equipment. They meet at the restaurant, right? That.
Oh, well, you have to go through the dressing montage.
Oh, well, of course, she's wearing overalls to work, as one does.
What,
when you're a police officer.
When you think of police officers, you think of overalls.
Right. And the reason why she's in overalls, so her mother can be very distressed that she's going to go on a date looking like that. And cute to slutty friend who comes to help. And we have a musical montage while she tries on everything in her closet, ridiculously.
And it's, you know, it's every goofy dresses, weird hats, everything.
And then when they're at the end of their rope, they finally find this perfect velvet red dress
They had to call the coffee shop friend.
Because he's the sassy gay guy. So he's going to, you know, you always need your sassy gay guy to help you dress.
Who knows fashion.
Right. He knows fashion. He's bought her a jacket that didn't make it out of the closet yet.
But originally.
Right. Somehow going to be worn with this dress that appeared out of nowhere at the last minute. Meanwhile, handsome Carson is waiting at the restaurant. Oh my God, how is this all gonna go?
No texting the guy, even though they now know his number.
She doesn't appear to be in any hurry, but he's waiting. The surveillance van is outside. She stops into the van. She's given a necklace with a camera on it, very creepy, so that they can film him. She finally makes it into the restaurant and immediately launches in to questions about his ex-wife.
Right.
And that doesn't turn him off at all. It's shocking. It just makes him love her more.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's his name? Carson was trying to be a gentleman and order food. So he ordered both of them wine.
And cheesy breadsticks.
Which
don't look cheesy at all in the shot.
And it's the only thing that they have.
Yeah, it's apparently the only thing they eat.
And this restaurant has specialized December
Christmas menu. So I'm not sure why they settled for cheesy breadsticks, but they did. And why he's not offended that she keeps like hounding him about the ex-wife. And we're not going to get into details on this, but as soon as we knew that there was an earpiece, we knew that, you know, because they're going to be talking in her ear, sort of telling her what to ask. We knew there'd be at least one faux pas where they accidentally say things they don't mean for her to repeat and she repeats them. And right on cue, that happened.
Yep.
So right in the predictability file.
Yep.
But anyway, the date goes great. Mm-hmm. So great, the FBI agent's like, great date, not enough information, make a new date immediately.
Yep.
So
very, like, immediate, like a lunch date the next day.
Yeah, so coffee date, because lunch dates are for friends.
Oh, that's
so,
right. Right. Yep.
Coffee date in the coffee shop with her friend, right? They're having an amazing coffee date. Again, he's like clearly loving her and she's harassing him about his ex-wife. I can't believe he hasn't got up and left yet, but he hasn't.
Mackenzie warns her coffee friend to not mention that she's a cop.
Yep.
He almost...
Almost messes up, but doesn't.
They save it.
Right.
So she's now, she wanted to be an astronaut. That's what we learned.
Right. Not really, but that's their cover story. So while she's asking about the ex-wife, he immediately, second date, folks, spills that he almost was a criminal in his past life.
Yep.
He didn't really do anything criminal, but he helped criminals.
Right. He's friends with criminals.
Yes, and they stole things and he helped them sell it. And then he decided that was not the life he wanted.
Right.
But his wife really wanted that life.
Yep.
Yeah. And he doesn't give details about it, but he basically confesses his almost criminal past. And ironically,
at this moment,
a member of his criminal past walks by, spots him in the coffee shop.
And they're sitting towards the back. So he actually had to stare him down.
He had to really, really notice. And he comes in and does oddly threatening phrases about what are you doing here?
Most bizarre conversation.
Very strange. I'll tell you what we learn in this conversation. We learn that the dude he's talking to is a champion safe cracker.
David, I think, was the name.
David is his name. We learn this because they're running his picture as this date is going on. Because, of course, remember, everything's under surveillance. We learn that he's...
The captain knew immediately
a well-known safe cracker. I don't know if you guys knew. That, to me, feels like, again, Wile E. Coyote and Acme. Yep. Like, well-known safe cracker. Does anybody actually say that? So he's a well-known safe cracker. He mentions Bethany, the ex-wife, in front of Mackenzie, and it just is vaguely threatening to Carson. Like, basically, hey, where's Bethany? And I'm here on a job.
I know what you did. Right. And you're going to get yours.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And Carson's like, hey, we're not friends. And then he just leaves because he's got it. He's out. He's got to leave. All right, so now we're getting somewhere because now we know this guy's in town. So now everybody's convinced, okay, Carson really is involved. Everybody but Mackenzie, who's falling for him and doesn't think he could possibly be involved.
He's being played as a very nice, very kind, very sweet person.
How could he possibly be a criminal?
Right.
Uh-oh, third date, dinner at his place. Okay, dinner at his place.
Oh, well, we have to, so at this point, as we've said before, Mackenzie's terrible flirt. So the way they get the third date is
she flirts masterfully.
Well, yes, because Carson calls her to apologize for leaving in such a rush, and apparently some fairy godmother,
the flirting fairy,
just sprinkled flirt dust on Mackenzie, and she.
Oh my God, she's an expert flirter now.
It was crazy.
Yes. So now we've got a third date because, you know, she's flirtastic and
dinner at Carson's house.
Dinner at Carson's. Right. Oh, my God. It's going to be so romantic. And it is. They're decorating the tree together with special ornaments that he had stored away that he only brings out at the last minute. And why? Why did they have to bring them out at the last minute? Because there had to be a scene where they were decorating the tree and it couldn't be an undecorated tree because she's already seen his beautiful decorations. That's why she fell for him. So this is how we solve that problem. These are the extra ornaments.
The extra ones.
And they're in this special holiday tin. And one of them...
It's super important.
Mm-hmm, one of them is incredibly important. One of the ornaments he made, was it the year his mother died? Or he made it for his mom and they put it on the tree every year?
He made it with his mom.
Okay.
And then she passed.
And then she passed away. Connection to his dead mom goes on the tree every year.
Yep.
Okay. And then they sit down and have this amazing dinner.
Well, no, there was the almost kiss.
Oh, yes. Because there's always an almost kiss before the real kiss. So they're about to kiss at the tree after they've put the perfect ornaments up. And the oven buzzer goes
off. Correct, because dinner's ready.
Right, so no kiss yet. Now we're at the table having an incredibly romantic dinner. So romantic, she brings up his ex-wife again.
Oh, at this point, it's harassment.
Yes, and he flat out tells her the whole story about the diamond theft and how they stole a diamond-encrusted reindeer, her and her cronies, and she left. And he didn't know how deeply she was in crime until that happened. And now she's gone along with the diamonds and good riddance.
And all it took was three dates and a dinner.
Yes.
And he was just, he just let it spill.
Yep. So now we're like, oh my God, things might actually work out. But the phone rings and it's late. Who could it be? Now, we're wondering who it could be. And Brendan is sitting there on the couch going, it's Bethany. Because again, predictable.
Right, but the surveillance van couldn't pick up who it was. They said that it wasn't working. It was being blocked. It wasn't working.
So how could that be? How did she know? And so it's Bethany. And because Brendan was right. And turns out that Bethany let him in on the fact that his girlfriend was a cop.
Right. Now, it should be known that this call, at least in our time frame, was 20, 25 seconds. And the information that Carson got is incredible.
It was probably like 5 minutes worth of information, but given to him in 30 seconds.
Right.
So he comes back in. he's like, I know you're a cop. And she's like, no, I'm not. And he's like, but you are. No, I'm not. Well, Bethany is a lot of things, but she knows her shit when it comes to this stuff. So right. You're definitely a cop. Okay, I'm a cop. Right?
In this universe, it doesn't take much for the truth to come out.
No, the truth just spills out. And so she's weepy and trying to explain to him how it all happened. He's having none of it.
Right.
So he just kicks her out. And he says, get out of my house. I never want to see you again.
Yep, exclamation point.
This is important. He never wants to see her again. Out she goes. Musical montage of both of them being sad in their own houses. The police come and take away his surveillance equipment. Because I guess once the romance is over, you don't
And he had to sign paper. He had to sign paper saying, yeah, take it.
Yeah, take it away. I don't know. So, and the FBI agent is pissed and is like, how did you mess it up? Oh, my God. They get put on administrative leave, her and her partner. They're
in trouble.
Which
is actually a paid vacation, as we learn.
They're getting paid. So she's randomly eating a pint of ice cream at her friend's coffee shop because you know that when girls' hearts are broken, they eat ice cream.
You turn to ice cream.
Right, right. So all of this is going on, but it's suddenly Christmas Eve. And, you know, she's sad. And so what is she doing on Christmas Eve? She's hanging out in the surveillance house, still watching him.
And it's all dark. The white Christmas tree is there, but no lights. And it's creepy.
Yep. And she's sad. She's very, very sad.
She's on the phone with her partner, Reed.
Yep. But she's looking out the window at him because right now she's a stalker, pretty much. Yeah, is at this point. She notices, oh, my God. The safe cracker is outside of Carson's house.
Right. He's on the phone.
Yep. That can't be good, right? Nope. He's going to be up to no good.
Yep.
So she hangs up on her partner. She doesn't tell him that she's going across the street.
Right.
She doesn't ask for backup. She just hangs up, heads over, looks through the window. What does she see?
Oh, poor Carson has knocked the F out.
On the floor. Oh my God, she better go in and check on him. So she does.
Apparently the side door is unlocked.
Right? Or she's got a key after three dates. We don't know. Nobody explains that. She goes in. She's looking at him. She kept checking his vitals. Is he dead?
She did the snapping in his ear.
Right. I don't know what that's all about. And then entering.
From the shadows.
Yep.
Comes David.
Out safe. Cracker Dave. Right?
Yep.
Safe Cracker Dave. So I don't know why he was outside and then went back in. But basically, not only is he there, but he's had a conversation with Carson where Carson has told him all about her.
Yep.
And how he really, really likes her, but he hates her, but it's...
Yeah, we don't know the extent of the assault. Like, he was knocked out, then woke up.
We don't
up,
see the
then,
injury. There's no blood. We don't actually know what happened.
And Carson stays lying on the floor for the rest of the scene.
As if he's paralyzed.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll just lay that out so we don't have to reference
Right now
it
he's still unconscious. So he's unconscious, and Save Cracker Dave is spilling all of this stuff, and she's being kind of smart-assed back to him, but being brave.
And at this point, she relays that I'm a police officer.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be in big trouble. And he's like, well, how am I going to be in big trouble? And she's like, because at that moment, the FBI agent walks in behind, right? So clearly, backup came.
Yep.
And she says, because Special Agent Robertson is entering right now.
And she's going to arrest you.
Plot twist. It is not an FBI agent.
No.
It's, oh my God, who could it be?
I'm going to guess Bethany.
Bethany. So Bethany.
At this point, Carson has come up from it, from being
so
knocked out.
So now Carson is awake and saying, that's Bethany. And we find out that this was all an elaborate ruse by Bethany to track him down because he moved.
Right. Didn't know where they were.
Didn't know where he was. And she has left the diamond reindeer behind with him.
But it's also known that all safekeepers also forge documents.
Yeah. So the reason why she was able to get her FBI paperwork and get all of the warrants was because Safecracker Dave is also a document forger. So
that's
so
the
awesome.
Way of the world.
Right. They're very that's cleared up with one line, one line of dialogue. No need to worry about how that all happened because Dave.
The circle's complete.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
We're all set. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. So Bethany says, yeah, I knew that people would be after me and I didn't want to be caught with the reindeer. So I hid it in his stuff and then he moved. And so I used you basically to track him down and find my reindeer.
Which I hid.
Where could it be? Brendan, where on earth could it be? It's in the one place.
The one thing that she knew.
He would never sell.
Correct. Or throw away.
What could it be? Could it be?
I'm going to say it's the Christmas ornament that he painted with his mom.
Right. So no explanation as to how the reindeer got inside of it, because we need to smash it open to find the reindeer.
I mean, picture this. The reindeer is a trinket size. It fits into the thing. There's just round ornament,
but there's no way to get it in there. Right. Yeah. But that we don't need to worry ourselves with those silly little details.
Physics. Who
cares?
I
mean, come on. So, yeah. And so she's ready to shoot them all.
Yep.
And escape, including her partner, Dave.
Yep. Oh, she was ready to.
Oh, she was going to throw
guns
him.
Guns ablazing. Yeah,
she had a gun. She's going to shoot everybody. Go on. But the captain, who she was making fun of 2 seconds earlier for being such a boob that she fell for the whole FBI thing, happens to come up behind her just in time with her gun drawn.
Yep.
Arrest everybody.
Yep. Already had the ambulance called because they knew Carson was knocked out.
Yep. So Carson's going to go in the ambulance. Everybody else is arrested. How did she know? Because a mother always knows. And the partner told her, I guess.
Yeah,
I guess he figured out. I don't know. So we've got our last shot of, and just before they load Carson into the ambulance, he has a gift.
All right.
Right. Now he's, keep in mind.
He
hasn't gotten up from the ground. He also, the last time we saw them in a room together, he told her to get out of his house and he never wanted to see her again.
Yeah.
But he still got her a gift. Just in case, I guess they were going to work everything out. Yeah, I don't know. Or change his mind. I don't know. So she opens the gift. I know you guys are like, I can't imagine what it could possibly be.
It's the missing Mrs. Claus from the trinket collection.
Yes, that they share. They both have, but she was missing Mrs. Claus. And Mrs. Claus is really hard to find. And we find, you know, he says that it's so sad that you didn't have Mrs. Claus. She's hard to find. So it's shocking that he would then find it. And give it to her.
At this point, he's wheeled away by the ambulance and the gurney is thrown into the ambulance.
So he's in the ambulance. She goes in the ambulance with him. And mom says, hey, don't forget Christmas dinner tomorrow and maybe you could bring a date. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. They finally kiss. Credits roll.
The ambulance door shut. Credits.
Yep.
And that's a wrap.
Yeah, and that's a wrap. Okay, so I know we have gone on and on about how predictable it is. And so you're going to think that I'm giving this a low mark. But I actually found it quite entertaining, despite being able to guess. And I'll tell you why I found it entertaining. Because there weren't camera shots and things that looked like maybe they had been made in a 12-year-old like craft class, like for 12-year-olds. There was no unfinished circles, really. And the acting was mostly good, except for the mom. And I found them kind of charming and I liked the people and I was rooting for them. So I'm actually going to give this an 8.
This is going to be the highest rated movie I have. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I was going to give it a 6.5.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it was like Deirdre said, as predictable it was, everything was done really well where the predictability didn't ruin.
Yeah. It was fun to watch. It was fun to watch and the people were enjoyable and likable. So, yeah, I say joy to the world.
Say Ferris.